Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Let's open our Bibles tonight, getting back into that mighty 24th chapter of Genesis. I believe the Lord is just continuing to shine light upon light. I'm so thankful to God as we have cut our teeth on this for many years, again by His grace, this precious bridal story that is in and hidden in this precious 24th chapter. But grateful to God, by the gospel given to Paul, it comes to light. And praise the Lord, it wasn't just a story, it's our life. This is who we are in Christ. This is the calling that's upon us. And I'm so thankful to Jesus that as we read in the first 10 verses, or 9 verses last week, we understand that this was the oath, this precious agreement that the Godhead had. The Son's going to have a wife. Praise be to God. And it's everything that the Father has been given to that precious Son. And I'm so thankful that now the Holy Spirit, as we're going to read tonight, this servant who Abraham sends has come searching for the true worshiper who worships Him in spirit and in truth. And praise be to God, seeking out the goodly pearl. And He wants that to be you. That offering is to you. The life that lives in you has every ability, provision, and praise be to God, the power has been given for it to grow up into Him in all things, and to be this readied vessel, abiding at the well, obedient by God's grace, and just crazy willing enough to say, I will go. Praise His name. What a wonderful love story. Amen. So tonight, we'll go ahead, and I know we're going to maybe try to go through a lot here, but I think we can get through from the 10th to the 12th verse. How's that? You think? That's a lot. I just don't even know how we're going to do it, but we're going to trust the Lord. But it says there in the 10th verse, and again, He sent out His servant to go find her. And it says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Now, I just have to tell you, I glory more and more in Him, how this beauty just continues to lay out. And I think the thing that catches my heart the most as I just read through that briefly is He has all the goods of the Master in His hand. Isn't that awesome? He's got it all. There is nothing lacking there, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit right now is taking all the things of Christ and showing them unto you, making them yours. Hallelujah. Growing up into these things. Now, as you read this, you'd think, well, wait a minute. How could that servant have everything of the master in his hand when we know that the master's home and even his son is all still back in Canaan? Heaven is still up there where the Father is, and his son's at his right hand. How could that Holy Ghost have everything? Here it is. This is the Word. This is everything. And praise be to God, brothers and sisters. I am so thankful that the Father has given us everything in this precious Word. And the Holy Ghost is the one that's leading us into all. And everything, I mean all, that the Father has. It's a complete plan, brothers and sisters, and that doesn't even begin to touch it. It is so beyond complete. It's so beyond wonderful, brothers and sisters, because this pattern is woven over and over throughout the Word of God. We're just rejoicing again in one precious chapter in this whole Word, but again, all the fullness of God, how it lays in every verse and in every chapter. And even though it's woven throughout the Word of God, I'm so thankful what His purpose and His plan is it's woven over and over throughout us. It's that perfect pattern, praise be to God, that we rejoice in of us in Christ. Now this servant, as you notice here, he took 10 camels. Now, the number 10 in the Bible has great meaning. The number 10, even in the natural, has great meaning. It means fullness. It means completeness. And you talk about going out to seek a 10. This is a 10. In the Word of God, we know that the number 10 means responsibility according to ability. That's what it is. Responsibility according to ability. Now, you think about that and the perfection that the Lord wants to perform in His wife. He sent it all so it could happen. I mean, it's just so incredible, really. It just makes your mind and your heart just explode with what God has in the offering right now. Brothers and sisters, we are called and chosen to rule and to reign jointly with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the very will and purpose of God for your life. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge, the complete knowledge, the intimate knowledge, the exact knowledge of the truth. And that knowledge is that He wants you in the midst of the throne to rule and reign with Him, to be glorified together with Him, to make known to all that He has loved thee. I like that. How about you? That other stuff's great, but see, it gives Him pleasure. That's why I don't want to, kind of slough off at all any of that ruling and reigning thing and say, oh, that glorified together, oh, that's His. No, He wants it to be yours. And if it's important to God, let me tell you something, it best be important to you. Amen? Amen. It makes Him delighted. Praise God. The woman is the glory of man. What you want to receive in the Word of God? Don't you want to receive what He has for you? Don't let your one bit of self-righteousness separate you from God's very best. Take it. Take it. Praise be to God. It's wonderful. Now, to whom much is given, much is required. That's exactly what that number 10 just sings to my heart. Responsibility according to ability. You have been given much, and much is required. And you know what the requirement is? Take the grace. Take it. Take it. Don't delay. Praise God. Go after it. You little Lord of all. Galatians 4:1. That's who you are, little Lord of all. Grow up. That's what it is. Grow up. Don't remain in as a servant. Grow up. Understand what it is. Rejoice in what it is. Apprehend it. Believe it, and it'll work effectually in your life. And brothers and sisters, may we know that we have it all. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Amen? I don't wait to get to heaven for that. It happened, praise God, the moment Christ came to live in my life. Hallelujah. He gave me His very life. We live in the age, brothers and sisters, in the offering to be filled with all the fullness of God. We live in the day of a better thing than any of the worthies of faith that are written of in the Old Testament. I'm not comparing myself to them. I'm just apprehending the Word of God. I'm believing it. It delights Him that I delight in the Word of God, that I rejoice in the truth, that His promises are yea and amen, and that His promises are for me. And I'm so thankful to God that we treasure those, brothers and sisters, and this is this Holy Ghost, this is this servant that is taking all the things are in His hand, and He's bringing them to her. Hallelujah. Here you are. And that's what's so precious, brothers and sisters, is that these brothers and sisters of the Old Testament, they're our types and our shadows. They're for us. Thanks be to God. They were going through these things. They wanted to look into them. They wrote about them. But God had a veil there. But praise God, it's written twain. We go boldly into that throne of grace, into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. And that Holy Spirit showing us, praise God, that cherubim had been looking right at that blood on the mercy seat ever since. That's our lives, brothers and sisters, the great grace of God. Now, I think about these Old Testament worthies of faith, and I think about the promises that they laid hold of, and the types and shadows of fully going after the Lord that they rejoiced in, and how wonderful that they were the full overcomers in the Old Testament, just as the Lord is encouraging us, you be the full overcomers in the New Testament time, in this church age, brothers and sisters. One that comes to mind is Brother Caleb. I love what he said there in Numbers 13:30. Do you remember that? And Caleb stilled the people. This is 13:30 in Numbers. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up at once." I love that. He didn't say, "Let's talk about it. You know, let's ponder this. Let's get together and form a vote." That's not in there. He said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." He knew that land was already his. He knew that that promise that God had given him was his. And all he was needing to do is to take it, to go in, and to not just put one foot in there, but walk all the way throughout the land. That the giants in the land were basically figments of imagination, and God would deal with them. Amen? But what was the truth of the matter? See, I love how he said that too. He said, "Let us go now and take it, us." See, he was taking, apprehending that promise of God. It wasn't just for him, it was for the people. God had promised that to them. But we understand that story. We know that only two of them went in, Caleb and Joshua. All the others drew back in unbelief, and they never went in. They never apprehended all the promises of God. Brothers and sisters, we're in that same state right now. How much do we want? You know, when the Holy Ghost was sent to us, he said that you would be led into all truth. Do you want it? I pray that we do want it, brothers and sisters, and I do believe we do, because we've had this enlightenment of the love of God. That, you know, this Bible, we aren't just supposed to have a few of the chapters, and, you know, this book we're not supposed to get into till later on after Jesus comes, and, you know, things like that. I mean, you hear people talk like that, and it's nonsense. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to know this love story. Praise God, this truth and love that is for you. And God, help us to be bold in his love for us. See, that's what I'm bold in. I'm not bold even in my love for him. I'm bold in his love for me. He loves me so much, I'm taking it. I know I'm invited in. I'm not just welcome. He's pleading me, "Come in, son, take it. Take it all." Hallelujah. You want to please me? Take it all. Praise God. Now, what about the precious type in Esther? You think about that again. Why did she win the king's heart over all the other virgins? Why was it that he loved her above all others? Why did they point that out so specifically in the Word of God? You think God would just take a minute and said, "Well, let me tell you about a love story about this couple." It has meaning. It has great meaning, brothers and sisters. He loved them all, but there was one he had a special love for. He loved her above all the other virgins. He loved her so much that she was going to be his queen. And why did that happen? It's because specifically Esther required nothing but what Haggai, the keeper of the women. You'll read that precious story and you'll see Haggai there. And I see that precious type in that wonderful one as the Holy Ghost, the keeper of the women. She took all and only what he appointed. She took nothing else. She didn't go get an assortment of ideas from everybody in the kingdom. She didn't go to everybody else and said, "Well, what's your opinion on this? And what's your opinion?" Do you see how every wind of doctrine, it'll mess you up. You better sit at the feet of Jesus and allow the Holy Ghost to minister to you all the counsel of God. And it's right there for you. Hallelujah. That's why we don't have to go to all these commentaries and all these different things. Let me tell you something. His sheep know his voice. He that wills to know the will of God will know. You don't even have to read real well, or even speak real well. How's that? It's late at night. I've been talking probably way too much. But God knows. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not based upon your vocabulary, your reading ability, your speaking ability. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes I get a little excited about this. He's got to slow me down. Praise God. But that's just kind of when our heart begins to flutter. How could we not be excited about this love that he has for us? Now think about Ruth and how she won Boaz as her husband. Naomi, there was she. Another precious type of a Holy Ghost that instructed her how to win Boaz for her own. In 3:5 of Ruth, she says, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." All. Not a piece here and there, not something over here. And brothers and sisters, it's not like, well, we're going to put it off till tomorrow. It's now. This is the God of now. That's what's so beautiful about this Lord. I can't think about anything in that past. I have to forget those things which are behind. Thank God if you've yielded to God for many years in your life. That's a precious, wonderful thing. But that isn't now. Amen? Amen. And if it's been blotch after blotch and mistake after mistake, praise be to God. It's now. Now is what counts. Are we loving His appearing now? Not back then. Not that I was in all of this mess and that mess back then. Praise be to God. But God. And that's what it is. And hallelujah that, again, He can just strum that across our hearts. But see, again, this pattern played over and over throughout the Word of God. And you know what that pattern is how could we neglect so great salvation? If by any means, praise God, I want this, because it's the plan and the purpose and the provision and the power that has been given of the Father when He gave His precious Son to us. And then, as we go on here in this 24th, chapter in the 10th verse, there's your camel. Isn't that wonderful? And I love these camels, perfectly seen, your camel, all wrapped up in these 10. We had this a sermon so many years back on these camels, and they're a magnificent beast. You don't realize how magnificent they are, even naturally speaking. They're perfectly and wonderfully made for the purpose of desert travel. There's no other animal that even compares to them. And I did want to give you, just remind you, some amazing facts about the camel. First of all, the word camel is an Arabic word, and you know it means beauty? Yeah. Yeah, it does. Praise God. You don't realize how beautiful He's made you. Wonderfully, perfectly, fearfully made. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what that really means. But the camel is the only mammal that has an oval red blood cell. Can you imagine that? It's the only mammal, instead of having a round red blood cell, it has an oval red blood cell. And the reason it has an oval red blood cell is so that that beast can hold water. It doesn't hold water in its hump like most people like to think. It's in them cells. And it's the only mammal that can do that in those quantities, and it's because of the shape of that red blood cell. Amazing how it evolved, isn't it? It just gives me a headache. My goodness. Praise God. But that hump, by the way, doesn't store water. It's fat. Their coat reflects the sunlight and insulates them from heat or cold as needed. They go 17 days without water. Camel's feet are basically almost webbed so that they can walk on the sand and they don't sink. They have two sets of eyelids to keep the blowing sand from getting in, and they even got closers on their nostrils that come down during those bad sandstorms. An amazing beast, aren't they? Hallelujah. See, God knows what He's doing so perfectly in nature, and how much even more perfectly with us, brothers and sisters. But you think about this. What a type. It's a fully equipped beast. And what is that beast going to do? It's going to finish the course to bring the bride to the bridegroom. And it's the only way it's going to happen. It's the only way that she's going to get from there to there is on that camel. We've talked about it many times, brothers and sisters. But as amazing and as wonderfully made as that camel is, and fully equipped, also remember that it's a stubborn beast, unwilling. It will spit at you. It will kick you. It will even lay down and won't get up. That sounds like someone I know. I think I was there earlier this morning. But God. Aren't we thankful for but God? See, but God and His grace will bring your camel to the groom if you will allow Him. And again, I want to emphasize, brothers and sisters, it's only going to be on the camel that God gives you. You must ride this race on and in your flesh. I know there's much talk sometimes about these camels being trials. I can understand that there's a thought in that. But I believe that the more perfect way is understanding that that camel, that stinky beast, is your flesh. And until you surrender to the Lord, and I surrender to God, and submit to Him, and give over this flesh, and say, Lord, take control, I'm not going to move a bit. But praise be to God, it's just the weakened package that you need. Did you know that? Everything is so perfect about your weakened flesh. If it was any other way, if you had any other talents or any other down settings, it wouldn't work. It has to be exactly who you are that God's going to use to bring you to the Son as that wonderful wife. He's given you to be solely dependent upon Him. So I don't believe we need to complain about it, brothers and sisters. If we'll look into the Word with the eyes enlightened with understanding, we are tailor-made to win Him. We are tailor-made to win Him. We are tailor-made by God's grace to finish with a full joy. If you were capable of it in yourself in any way, it wouldn't be a full joy. You would have been relying on yourself. But knowing, oh, weak, helpless you, praise be to God, that's when all glory comes to Him. Amen? Come on, let's start getting the eyes of our understanding enlightened and rejoicing. And that when I am weak, praise God, that I'm strong. I glory in my infirmities, as Brother Paul said, because it's then and only then that the power of Christ rests upon me. And I want the power of Christ, and I believe you do too, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. All right. Now, let's go on. As it says there, and all the goods were in His hands. I have to tell you, that really does take my breath away. I don't know about you. Now, He's good, isn't He? He's so beyond. Aren't you so thankful that He sees Christ in you? Aren't you so thankful that the Father sees His very Son? Praise God when He looks at us, brothers and sisters. It's overwhelming His goodness to us. That it's not just His good, it's not just His acceptable, but it's His very perfect will. I mean, the offering that's to us, it's beyond. And I'm so grateful to God that in the light of His glory and grace, it's our reality. It's we come together and this is our rejoicing, is that, thank you, Jesus. You love me like this and we believe it. See, His will, brothers and sisters, is it's filled with all the fullness of God. His will is that we grow up into Him in all things. His will is it's not just be filled, but to be full and overflowing in the Holy Ghost. We are not called to only heirs, but joint heirs, co-inheritors. What's mine is yours and vice versa. I want you glorified together with me. And those are just a few of the precious verses. Aren't you thankful? Do you see it? Do you see that He's written that to you? Oh, I pray God we do. See, there is the servant, the Holy Ghost, as it says so clearly in John 14:16, taking the things of Christ and making them ours. Praise His name. Now notice here where He's off to. See, everything again has great meaning. And how perfectly every line and every precept, and here a little, there a little, praise be to God it is. He's going to the land of Mesopotamia. That's where the region that this sister is residing, this bride is awaiting. And here we go. The word Mesopotamia means the place of exalted. How about the exalted rank of righteousness? That's also known as the crown of righteousness, which Paul said is not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Praise be to God, this is her. This is that place where she dwells, praise God, looking to the very grace, the word of his grace, taking hold of what God has already supplied. Lord, this is for me. I always appreciate sweet brother Herbie. As he would come into these truths, as God would show it to him and he would hear it. You mean God wants me to have that? Well, then I need that. Praise the Lord. That's as simple as it is, brothers and sisters. There's nothing to work for here. It's just to believe, going boldly to the throne of grace. See, it's not the throne of works. It's not the throne of duty. It's not the throne of, well, I did good today or I didn't. It is exactly what it is. It's the throne of grace. You didn't deserve it, but you're not just welcome. You're not just invited. You're needed there. Praise God. He wants that fellowship. There's nothing greater to the Father's heart. There's nothing more wonderful to the Father's heart than praising him for his grace, to be vessels to the praise of the glory of his grace. That gives him the most pleasure. That's the only pleasure he's ever going to have, is when we give glory to his Son for his grace. It's impossible to please God without faith. And the faith, brothers and sisters, is in the unmerited and undeserved and unending love of God to us because of his Son. How wonderful. How absolutely amazing. And how absolutely opposed it is from our flesh, from man's thinking. Everything we do in life, you have to earn, you have to merit, you have to work for, you have to do something to achieve it. And here, completely opposite, God has given it freely, undeserved. And matter of fact, that's the word mercy. Not only just undeserved, it was the complete opposite, is exactly what you deserved from what he gave. Praise his name. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the servant that's taking it all and giving it to us. But see, Mesopotamia is where she rejoices and where she resides, in that place of the exalted rank of righteousness. And praise God, brothers and sisters, she believes it. She believes in this exalted rank. There's a type here because the Holy Spirit comes to her and ministers to her. There's a love of an appearing here in her heart. And the reason that we know this is because she immediately says, I will go. Praise God. Well, the family is even contemplating this and says, well, you know, we're going to read this. Can't you hang around just a little bit? Give us just a night, honey. We got to spend some time together, just a couple days. No, the Holy Spirit's going now. We got to go now. She had no idea except by faith. She had no idea except, praise God, the ministering of the Holy Ghost, who had all the things of the Master and giving to her. Praise be to God. But then, as God always does, it even gets more beautiful and more specific, because you notice that it's in the region of Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And if you look up this word Nahor, it means snorting. And I have to tell you, I scratched my head for some time. This word kind of came to me many years ago in studying and thinking about, what in the world does this snorting mean? You know, I don't get it, and I really didn't. And as the Lord continued to just lead, because there wasn't anything that he gave right there, but as the studies went on, and the Lord was so faithful in planting a little seed, and he was going to give the increase in it another time, the more accurate definition of it is not snorting, it's heavy breathing. It actually means panting. And I'm so thankful to God. It's like that deer that panteth for the water. She's delirious. She's in a state of absolute smitten with him. He takes her breath away. It's just too beyond this intimacy. It's just too beyond how much he loves me. It's just beyond words. And I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost, aren't you? Because, you know, I love you just doesn't get it. It's got to be in a heavenly language. Thanking him and praising him. Praise God as the Spirit gives us utterance to praise him. I'm so thankful to Jesus in that. But then notice verse 11. It says, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Now he made these camels, brothers and sisters, you'll notice here, to kneel down. And he brought them to a place that was without the city, and it was specifically by a well of water. If we're ever going to have this flesh truly tamed, truly submitted, truly surrendered to him, brothers and sisters, we must go unto him without the camp. It's the only way it's ever going to be, because that's the word of God. It's not some fantasy that we have here. Oh, well, I'm going to go live in a cave, and I'm going to cut myself or chant until I'm blue in the face. Or, you know, as the man that was up there on that tower all that time, and he made them feed him with a stick and things like that. The reason they fed him with this long old pole and put the thing on there is because he stunk so bad they couldn't get around him. And the dumb fool almost killed himself, and he finally came down. But that ain't going to get it, brothers and sisters. This is going unto him without the camp. And you know what happens when you go unto him without the camp? You know you'll meet others there as well, too. You'll have that wonderful fellowship, the much, the more, as you see that day approaching. You will, brothers and sisters, and God has given us that. See, we try to isolate ourselves outside the house of bread. It's not a good place to be. We might know the gospel story up here. We might know of the bridal truth, but we're not rejoicing in it. Brothers and sisters, it's loving the body as the head. And I'm so thankful that that embracing is coming forth, and I believe so boldly in this meeting, and that's the increase of love that God is giving us. He's given it to us for one another, and it's not in the outside of who we are. It's of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's in Christ in me, the hope of glory. And we're loving his appearing in the saints right now, praise God. It's not just for someday yonder when Jesus appears. We're loving his appearing right now. And praise his name. It's such wonderful fellowship as we rejoice in Christ in one another. And the Father takes such great gladness and just thanks in that we are receiving his grace to praise the Lord and what he's done in the saints. Praise his name. Now, you'll see there that he has the camels to come kneel without the camp at the well of water. Now, as we go unto him without the camp, brothers and sisters, you see there's a getting away from all the opinion. There's a removing away from religion, from legality, from carnality. And praise God, when that really starts to hit your life, you'll kneel down. You'll bend the knee. You'll quit in your own mind. You'll quit in your own judgment. You'll quit in your own thinking. And you know what? You'll bow down. You'll bend that knee. You'll surrender to the Lord. You'll surrender to the Word of God. And I'm so thankful. And that's only the Holy Ghost can do that. He takes the love of God and he sheds it abroad in your heart. The more you love the Lord, the more you'll surrender to him. But you'll never know really the love of God until you really know his truth, until you know this gospel story and embrace it for your own. And I'm so grateful to God again as he does that. And he allows that wooing to go in our hearts and into our lives. And we go unto him without the camp. And we bend that knee, hallelujah. And to bend that knee, we need to be enlightened by the grace of God to see the need of the water. Do you see the need of water? Well, you're here on a Wednesday night. That's a good sign. You drink of this drink. You drink of this well, and you'll never thirst again. And praise be to God, we're drinking from that well of water. His word, brothers and sisters, it's the drink of the Holy Ghost. And I'm so thankful that, again, the Holy Ghost taking the things of Christ and making them ours. See, he's having us drink from the word. He's having us feast from the word. He's teaching us all things as we grow up into him in all things. And as we go on this journey, praise God, unto the bridegroom. And then, notice here as well, too, in this precious verse 11, how timely the Holy Ghost is. Do you know that? It's such a perfect timing. He knows exactly when we need things. He knows exactly when we're ready to receive. He's growing us up. He knows this feeding. We can't hurry it one bit. These are precious appointments. His timing is always so perfect. And you'll notice here, it says evening time. And I love that evening time. If you think about it, evening time a lot of times is the time of weariness. You're tired. It's a time that's a solemn time. It can be a calming time. It's a time a lot of times when we need such encouragement. And it's always ready, and the Holy Ghost is always ready to meet those that seek that water. I'm grateful to God, brothers and sisters. If we be otherwise minded, he will make that known unto us. See, we don't even know how to pray, but the Holy Ghost, he teaches us what to say. He even says it for us. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for that? See, we can be completely reliant upon the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that brought all these things to pass. Hallelujah. It was all through that precious death. Thank you, Jesus. All through that precious shedding of the precious blood. That's why the cherubim has those eyes affixed on that mercy seat, because of the great mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that did everything for us. Every provision. The plan is all there. Praise God. And the power, the very power of his might. Not just some power that he made or created. We're talking his very power. The only power that is, it's his. And it's the very power of his might that he's given to us. And again, the desire to know the will of God, he meets it. I'm so thankful that he even gives us the desire to know the will of God. And he's always there praying. I'm so thankful. I look at that 12th verse and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. I just think it's such a precious story. I just love to think of the Godhead, how much they love one another. They're one, but the love that the Godhead has, it's so incredible that it's all to the glory of the Son. This is all the plan that the Father put in the Son. And hallelujah that, you know, here we are tonight in the midst of the inheritance of the Father. Praise God, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I'm just so thankful that we come into this truth and we rejoice in it, brothers and sisters. But it says there, it says, send me good speed this day. See, let me find and feed that true worshiper who worships you in spirit and in truth. And let her take of me speedily. As we close this, we have to go over to Esther, brothers and sisters, because it's so precious in that type of that little orphan girl that God so richly touched to be instructed, brought into that uncle's home, and he had a purpose for her life. He had a purpose for her to be the favored of the king. And if you go over to Esther chapter 2, and we will read from verse 8. It said, so it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, there's that precious type of the Holy Ghost, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. See, isn't that precious? See, the Holy Ghost is the one that ministers to her. This isn't a potpourri. This isn't, well, you know, all the winds of doctrine or my choice of this or my religion for the moment or whatever it might be. It's a narrow way. And here is the keeper of the women, period. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And listen to this. And he speedily gave her her things for purification with such things as belonged to her. See, isn't that wonderful? He gave it to her, but they belonged to her. And she had nothing, but they were hers. It's just too incredible, brothers and sisters. It is the word of God. It just is amazing. Listen to it. It's over and over, and the pattern weaves deeper each time. But listen to that. He speedily gave her her things for purification, which such things as belonged to her. And here we go. We'll be back here shortly, if the Lord tarry. And seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. You talk about the favor she was receiving from the place that the favor counts. But think of the hatred that was going on at the same time towards her. They wouldn't, those ones wanted her dead, trying to kill her and all wipe out all her people. But God had an eye on her. And hallelujah, she was the apple of his eye. But look at that, the best place, the favored place. And this was someone that was, again, so you would say completely unworthy. She didn't even know what was going on, that little orphan. But she was, I'll tell you what, so wise. Take only what he says. Listen to him alone and take it all. And she did. And she won. Praise the Lord. So brothers and sisters, as we close it tonight, it's just too perfect. That's all I can say. That pattern, praise God, let it just sink in. Let it just soak into your heart, brothers and sisters, that God's after you. This is yours. This isn't just a one-time thing that's sitting over here in Genesis 24. It's over there in Ephesians. We read about it in Galatians. We see it in Revelation. We've rejoiced tonight about it in Ruth. It was back there even in the story of Adam and Eve. It's not good that man should live alone. Hallelujah. He has given us the spirit of revelation and knowledge in this. He's enlightened the eyes of your understanding. And we are apprehending it, brothers and sisters. Not that we have, but we're beginning to. We're apprehending that which has apprehended us, and all by the grace of God, that we may know. See, not maybe have a thought or an idea, but as it says back there in Ephesians chapter 1, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, praise God, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See how many people just stop the hope of his calling for me? That's why you can start getting your mind to wandering. Well, am I supposed to live here? Am I supposed to work there? And who am I supposed to be with here? That's not what that means at all. He's very specific. The hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you. All right, brothers and sisters. It has to be by my spirit, saith the Lord, doesn't it? I know it's just too good to be true. But let me tell you something. It's the only thing that is true. It's his word. It's for us in Christ. And I pray that by God's grace that we would really just ask the Lord to make it more fervent in our lives. For those who have known this precious story and have rejoiced in it, praise the Lord. But God, don't let it grow old. We need to take heed to the things which we have heard. The more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. I'm grateful to God. I was rejoicing with a couple I know that's maybe thinking of getting married and those types of things. And I said, well, you know, there's a lot of people that are married. But they're really not married. They don't enjoy the marriage. You understand what I'm saying? They might be in the same house, but they don't rejoice as one, which God's made them. See, God's given this to you. But by God's grace, will you rejoice in it? Will you live it? Again, not just seeing it afar off like the sons of the prophets did. You know, they saw that from afar off what was going on with Elijah. But Elisha said, no way. And they mocked him, said, oh, he's going to go. He's going to leave you. All right. Well, if and when he does, I've got a double portion God's put on my heart. And I don't know how or the way he's going to do this thing, but I know the Lord's encouraged me. I'm not leaving this, brother. I'm there in the midst of it. Praise be to God. I'm drawn nigh with full assurance of faith. God has shown me something here. He's given me a promise. And they mocked him all along. And there'll be Christians that mock you all along. Some of the closest people to your heart, they'll roll their eyes when you start talking about bridal truth to them. They'll go, oh yeah. And they'll kind of look at your life from afar off and whatever. And someday, God forbid, but there are going to be the majority of those that will be left behind. And that's not unbelievers. Those are believers. That's the innumerable multitude. And you talk about the tear that needed to be wiped. The tear was shed here because of that. There'll be no tears up in heaven. They're gone. But there'll be a lot of tears shed here for those who understand that they missed the first trump. And that doesn't need to be us, brothers and sisters. Let God do it. Let Him do it. See, it's His desire. It's His want. That's His passion. Now just lay hold to what He desires. Amen? By grace. Grow in the grace. That's the only thing you're going to grow in. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who happens to be full of grace and truth. Grow into the double portion of grace. My sister, my spouses, we've started this off. That's what He sees for you. Lay hold. Believe Him. Believe Him. It's not about a feeling, brothers and sisters. It's by faith. You might be feeling pretty low tonight. I don't know. You may have sat here tonight and said, oh, that brother said some wonderful things, and I know those things, but I just don't feel my heart a-fluttering. You know, it's okay. It's okay. Say, Lord, I believe by Your grace. Amen. It's not by clicking our heels on a mountaintop all the time. Know this stuff, brothers and sisters. God's showing me all the time, and He has to encourage me. And that's why we need to pray fervently one for another. Because we are weak. And it's precious how weak we are. And it's wonderful how truly, how quick to unbelief we are, because it just shows us how mighty and loving and faithful and true He is. You see why we need to be looking up always? Not looking at ourselves in a mirror or looking at one another, but looking up. Praise be to God. Let's stand and be dismissed.